Okay, so tonight we're going to be dealing with a specialized topic, which is an offshoot of last week's discussion. Last week we did the sugya of bottle caps opening up bottles on Shabbos. We did the core sugya, and now tonight we're going to deal with an interesting offshoot of that discussion. And just to lay out what next week is, so a lot of guys voted to finish up things next week. So next week we're going to just finish up Makom HaPadish by dealing with a few more contemporary issues, and then we'll be up to our next malacha, which is going to be Kosev and Mirtz Hashem in 2 weeks. Okay, so tonight's discussion is going to be the following. The question becomes, let's say I come out of last week's discussion being machmir on the issue of bottle caps. I hold that it's also to open up bottles on Shabbos. Let's say you come out of last week's discussion being mekel on the sugya of bottle caps. You hold that it's mutter to open up bottle caps on Shabbos, meaning bottles for the first time on Shabbos. So can I ask you to open it for me? I forgot to open up my bottles before Shabbos. So can I ask you to do me a favor? You're mekel on the issue anyways. Can I ask you to open up the bottle for me on Shabbos? That's the issue they're going to be discussing. Now, the truth of the matter is, this is not an issue that's limited to the issue of bottles. It applies to all areas of halacha. It's a general question, which is, let's say you have a situation where there's a machlokes, had a paskin on a certain issue, and Reuven is machmir on this issue, but Shimon is mekel. So can Reuven ask his friend Shimon to do him a favor and to do this activity on his behalf? Another example where this issue comes up is, let's say, when it comes to Rabbeinu Tam, holding Rabbeinu Tam on Motzei Shabbos. Let's say Reuven is makbid on the zman of Rabbeinu Tam. He waits 72 minutes after Shkia before he does malacha. Let's say his friend Shimon only waits 50 minutes. So after 50 minutes are up on Motzei Shabbos, can Reuven ask his friend to do malacha on his behalf? So that would just be another example of this general shayla, where we're asking the question, if I hold something as usher and you hold as mutter, can I ask you to do it on my behalf? That's the question they're going to be dealing with tonight. Now, just to focus in on the issue, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Asher Weiss both point out that in a situation where a person is not taking chumrah upon himself, me'ikar adin, he doesn't hold that is the absolute halacha. He just wants to take an added stringency upon himself. He wants to be extra meticulous. So he's being extra careful to be extra machmir. But it's not mi'ikar adin. It's not that this is the essential halacha. So then there's certainly no problem asking your friend to do it on your behalf. There's nothing wrong, Rav Asher Weiss emphasizes this, it's not a tarte desasri. There's nothing wrong with taking upon yourself a stringency in part that I'm going to be makbid myself, but if I need to push comes to shove, I'll ask somebody else to do it on my behalf. Rav Asher Weiss says that that's perfectly fine, and Shlomo Zalman also says that that's okay. The question we're going to be dealing with is, what if that's not the situation? What if a person learns up the sugya and he concludes that mekar din really is not okay to open up bottle caps on Shabbos, but his friend obviously paskins differently? So in that situation where Reuven paskins mekar din that it's usher to do a certain activity like open up bottles, so in that situation, can he ask his friend to do it on his behalf? Or even if Reuven didn't learn up the sugya, but Reuven's posek, who Reuven adheres to, says absolutely, it's absolutely forbidden, and Reuven wants to take this upon himself. He wants to act like his Rebbe, like his posek. So we have a situation where a person takes upon it himself, mekar adin. So in that situation, can he ask his friend to do it on his behalf? That's the question we're going to be dealing with tonight. So the posek can point out two major issues that need to be contended with in dealing with this halachic issue, with this issue in halacha. So that's what we're going to be dealing with tonight. We're going to go through the two major issues that are brought up by the poskim in contending with this shayla, as if this is okay or if it's not okay. And okay, so let's start off with the Mincha Shlomo. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Mincha Shlomo is going to give us our first major issue, which is we're going to spend most of the shir tonight focusing on. So let's go through the piece in Rav Shlomo Zalman. Just to give the context, so Rav Shlomo Zalman is dealing with another corollary shiloh to this general issue, and that is the issue of what if there's a divide in the psak between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. Let's say Sfardim are machmir on a certain issue, but Ashkenazim are mekel on that issue. So can a Sfardi ask his Ashkenazi friend to do that activity on his behalf? What would be an example? So the case that Rav Shlomo Zalman is discussing is the following. There's a classic machlokus between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah on the issue of reheating previously cooked liquids on Shabbos. Let's say before Shabbos, I have a soup that was fully cooked, and then on Shabbos, the soup cools off. So can I reheat that soup on Shabbos. So this is a big time machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch versus the Ramah. Starting with the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch is machmir on this issue. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that as soon as the soup drops till below Yad Soledispo, so in that situation, it's going to be prohibited to reheat the soup. If a liquid was fully cooked, once it drops to below Yad Soledispo, whatever that temperature is exactly, you can no longer reheat the soup on Shabbos. That's the shita of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah argues, this is, I guess, one of our few instances where we're more mekel than the Sfardim. The Ramah argues and says that even if the soup cools off, if it was fully cooked and it cools off, as long as it didn't fully cool off, as long as it was not in standing legamri, it's still warm, it would be permissible to reheat that soup on Shabbos. So that's the shita of the Ramah in this situation. And so obviously this flows into a differentiation between the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim. The Sfardim follow Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, I'm assuming, right? So as long as they're going to be more machmir in this situation. If the soup drops below Yad Soledispo, then it's going to be a problem. They can't reheat it. Whereas according to the Ashkenazim, so we pass in like the Ramah, and therefore if the soup drops below Yad Soledispo, even if it's not fully hot, as long as it's not fully cold, so we're allowed to reheat that soup up on Shabbos. So the question Shlomo Zalman raises is, let's say you have a Sfardi who has a soup that was on the blach, let's say, and he takes the soup off the blach on Shabbos, and it drops below Yad Soledispo, so he no longer can put the soup back up on the blach. Can he ask his Ashkenazi friend to do it on his behalf? Can he ask his friend, who passes like the Ramah, to reheat the soup since it did not fully cool off? So that's the Shaila that Shlomo Zalman is dealing with, which once again is the same general Shaila. If I hold something as Aser and you hold this Mutter, can I ask you to do it on my behalf? So another example of this situation. So what's the halacha? So Shlomo Zalman points to what's going to be our first major issue that needs to be contended with in assessing this situation, and that is the iser of lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. You know that there's a prohibition to cause somebody else to do an avera. There's an iser. The iser of lifnei iver tells us you can't cause somebody else to do an avera. And so the issue Shlomo Zalman tells us that needs to be dealt with in this situation is a potential issue of lifnei iver. If I hold something as aser, I hold you can't open up bottles in Shabbos, and I ask you to do it on my behalf, I'm causing you to do something that from my perspective is aser. So maybe that should be a problem of lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. So that's going to be our first major issue, which we're going to analyze in addressing this halachic issue. And this is going to take up 90% of tonight's shiur, addressing the issue of lifnei iver. So what's the halacha in this situation? Is this an issue of lifnei iver? Is this not an issue of lifnei iver? So Shlomo Zalman says that this is a machlokes kaduma. This is an old machlokes, an old ongoing debate as to if there is indeed an issue of lifnei iver in this situation or not. Now, he doesn't exactly tell us who this machlokes kaduma is, who were the parties that were arguing in this debate. He just says it was an old machlokes, v'yesh ladan. You can argue different ways as to if there's an issue of lifnei iver in this situation. Who are the poskim that argue? Which achronim argue over this issue? So this is a machlokas between the Sharei Melech versus the Ksav Sofer. The Sharei Melech and the Ksav Sofer, I put them on the Maram Komos in the extra credit section. So they have a machlokas on this issue as to if there's a problem with Na'ivar. If I hold something as Aser and you hold this Mutter and I cause you to do this activity, is there a problem of Lif Na'ivar? So let's go through the two approaches now in the Achronim and how they come to their conclusions on this issue of Lif Na'ivar. But we'll stop for a quick second. Any questions? Mr. Cohen.
Yes. I know, for example, that let's say we talk about Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai had different shitos in terms of, I think it was Arayas or Yevamos, and yet they allowed their daughters to marry each other. So there's obviously this concept that, okay, I hold a certain way, but I still, it's built in into the world of Psak that there may be another position. So why would there be a Lifnei Iver? The guy who holds that it's Usser also knows that there's another shita.
Okay, so Mr. Cohen is asking that we have to admit that there's Shim Panam Torah, Elo Ve'elo, I may have one psak, but you have another psak. So why is there an issue of Lifnei Iver? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I guess Mr. Cohen took the steam out of what we're headed, but that's exactly what the Ksav Sofer is ultimately going to say. So just pretend like you're surprised when I say it in like 10 minutes, but that's exactly where we're going to be heading.
Yeah. And I didn't look at the Maram Komos.
Okay, fine. Okay,
But I just learned the story of Beis Shammai and Hillel.
Okay, excellent. So that's going to be the surprise ending, but I guess we'll just act surprised. Fine. So let's start with the shita of the Sharei Melech. Shar HaMelech, which we'll call approach one, is in Hilchos Ishus, he's in the Mar Makomos. He says that there is a problem of lifnei iver in this situation, that if I hold something as aser, I cause you to do it, even though you hold it's mutter, there's a problem of lifnei iver, because we have to look at my perspective. I, the machshel, hold it, this is aser, therefore there's going to be a problem of lifnei iver in this situation. Where does he get a shita from? Where does he derive this understanding that there's a problem of lifnei iver in this situation? So he develops it out of a shita mikabetzes in Nidarim. So we're going to move over now to the sugya in Nidarim on Sadia Mabez and learn the Mishnah there with the commentary of the shita mikabetzes, and that's going to set up this raya of the Shar HaMelech to his shita. So that's what we're going to do right now. Fine. So the Mishnah in Nidarim on Sadi Mabez. The Mishnah there tells us the following halacha. It says, let's say you have a married woman, and the Gemara says it's talking about a woman who's married to a Kohen. Let's say she says that another man was ma'anis her and against her will committed bia with her. In that situation, if she admits this, so what's the halacha in that situation? If the married woman married to the Kohen makes this confession, what's the halacha? So the Mishnah says that originally, back in the day, if a married woman would make this claim that she's now tamei to her husband, she would be believed. Back in the day, a married woman, the Gemara says again, married to a Kohen, an Ashes Kohen, who says that she was ma'anis, a man was ma'anis her, she would be believed to dissolve the marriage. That was the original halacha. But the Mishnah says that later on, Chazal no longer gave credibility to this statement, because Chazal saw that unfortunately women were inappropriately using this as an excuse to dissolve a marriage. And so they no longer gave ne'amanis to a married woman who would make such a claim. If a woman wants to claim that she's tamei to her husband, that she's forbidden to her husband, she's going to have to bring valid evidence to prove that point. So that's the Mishnah in the Nedarim on Daf Tzadi Amabez. Comes along the Shita Mikabetzes there in the Nedarim, and he raises the following question on this Mishnah. He says like this. The Mishnah here is telling us, once again, at the end of the day, if a married woman would make the claim that another man was ma'anis her, and she's now forbidden to her husband, she's not believed. She's not going to be believed anymore because Chazal were concerned that she's lying and she's using it as an out to inappropriately dissolve the marriage. Now, says the Shittim Gebetza, so what then is the halacha in this situation? Apparently, she can remain with her husband. That's apparently what the Mishnah is telling us, that she's allowed to remain with her husband in this situation. But asks the Shittim Gebetza, but wait a second. While it's true that from his perspective, Chazal told the husband that you don't have to believe your wife, you can stay with her. But from her perspective, from this lady's perspective, she knows that she's usher to her husband. She knows that really another man was ma'anis her. Another man made her forbidden to her husband. How can she remain with her husband? What about the isser of lifnei iver? When she stays with her husband, from her perspective, she knows she's usher to her husband. So when she lives with her husband, she's causing him to violate the prohibition of remaining with a wife who another man was ma'anis her. A Kohen can't remain with such a woman, with such a wife. So how is she allowed to stay with her husband? She's causing him to do an isser. Let there be a problem of lifnei iver. That's the kasha that the Shita Mikabetzes asks on this Mishnah in Nedarim. Was that clear? Was that clear? Yeah, Hananya. Can you repeat the question one more time?
I thought lifnei iver has to do with the way that people perceive something. So if people already know this halacha, then what's lifnei iver being done?
Hananya is asking that, does lifnei iver apply in this type of situation where people are aware, people perceive what? People
are aware of this halacha, and the only person that...
I don't know if people are aware of this halacha, you should know.
Okay.
So... Mm-hmm. Okay, so, Hanani's raising an interesting question. Maybe we'll talk about it afterwards, if that's okay. Yeah, fine. So that's the question that the Shita Mikabetzes asks on this Mishnah in Nedarim. Now, he gives a technical answer to this question, which I'm not going to spell out for the sake of time, but what's important about his answer is that he does accept the premise of the question, and his answer is clear that he holds that in principle, this would be an issue of lifnei iver. In principle, if this wife would stay with her husband, since from her perspective, there'd be a problem, she's causing her husband to do something else, that would be a problem of lifna ivra. He gives a technical answer why that doesn't apply in this case, but it's clear that in principle it would apply. So that was the Mishnah and the Shittim Gebetzas in Adarim. And this is what now sets up the Raya of the Shar HaMelech. Comes along the Shar HaMelech and he says, okay, so let's take a careful look at this situation. We have a case where this married woman is claiming that she's now usher to her husband. And we have two perspectives. We have the husband's perspective. We have the wife's perspective. From the husband's perspective, Chazal said, don't believe your wife. We don't give her credibility. You can stay with your wife. From the wife's perspective, she knows that she committed znus, or even if it wasn't znus, but it was against her will, she's still usher to her husband. She knows she's usher to her husband because he's a Kohen. And so we have these different perspectives. Which perspective do we work with? And what's the Shittim Gebetzas telling us? That if she lives with her husband, there's an issue of lifnei iver, because since she knows that she's really usher to her husband, she's causing him to live with her. That's a problem of lifnei iver. That's what's taking place in this situation. So says the Shar HaMelech, we can now prove the halacha in our situation that we're discussing. We're raising the shaila. If I hold something as usher and you hold something as mutter, can I cause you to do that? Which perspective do we take? Do we take my perspective? Do we take your perspective? Says the Shar HaMelech, we see from this situation that we take her perspective, that the machshel, the person causing the other person to do the act, we take the machshel's perspective, as we see from this case, that since she held it was usher, there's a problem of lifnei iver. So that's the raya of the Shar HaMelech. And with that, we've concluded approach number one, the Shar HaMelech shita, that there is a problem with lifnei iver, and we saw his raya from this Mishnah in Nedarim. Penny. Penny is saying it's usher to place the bottle in front of him. Who says it's usher to ask him directly? The point is that when I ask someone to do something, so I know he's going to listen to me. I'm causing him. I'm instigating him. Okay. That's a good question. Rebelsky raises that issue. Penny's raising up the issue of Shliach Levar Avera. Okay, Rebelsky brings that up. I'm calling that a side issue, but we're focusing on Lefnei Iver for now. Okay, fine. So that was approach number one, the Shita of the Shar HaMelech. Let's move over now to the second approach, which is the Shita of the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer was the son of the Chsam Sofer, and he was also a Gadol in his own right, and he argues on the Shar HaMelech. The Ksav Sofer says that really there's no problem of Lifnei Iver in the situation, that if I hold something as Aser, and I cause you to do it, as long as you hold this Mutter, there's no problem of Lifnei Iver. We focus on the perspective of the Nechshel. If the Nechshel holds that it's Mutter, there's no problem of Lifnei Iver. Now, of course, the Shar HaMelech brought a Raya from this Mishnah in Nedarim. So what's the Ksav Sofer going to do with this Raya from Nedarim? We have these two different perspectives. We go with her perspective, not his perspective. So this is where Mr. Cohn's point is going to come in. The Shar HaMelech makes the exact point of Mr. Cohn in debunking the Raya of the Shar HaMelech. So let's go back one last time to this case in Nedarim. We have a situation here where, from her perspective, she's usher to her husband. From his perspective, she's mutter to her husband. And the Shittim Gebetzas is telling us that there is lifnei iver. If she would live with her husband, in principle, there'd be lifnei iver. Says the Ksav Sofer that is not comparable to the case of bottle caps. While it is true that in this case in Adarim, there is a problem lifnei iver, there's a difference between that situation and the case of bottle caps. He's not talking about bottle caps, but any other situation comparable to bottle caps. What's the distinction? So it makes the exact distinction that Mr. Cohn had pointed out, basically. And that is as follows. He says that when it comes to the case in Adarim with this woman and the husband, so in that situation, the Isra on the table is a function of the facts. It's a function of the Metzias. If the facts are that she was with another man, so then she's usher to her husband. If the facts are that she was not, then she's mutter to her husband. The Isra, asks if it's usher or not, is not a halachic debate. It's a function of the facts. What was the Metzias? And so in that situation, since she knows the Metzias, she knows the facts, from her perspective, there's no room for another argument. From her perspective, her husband is objectively usher to her. And so in that situation, there's definitely going to be a problem of lifnei iver. Since the isra in that situation is a function of the facts, and she knows the facts, from her perspective, there's no room for another. It's cheat out there. So then there's going to be a problem of lifnei iver when she causes her husband to do that isra. In contrast to that, says the Shar HaMelech, let's go back to the case of bottle caps. I hold the bottle caps are usher, you hold that they're mutter. In this situation, so the isra on the table, whether it's usher or mutter, to open up bottle caps, is not a function of the metzias. It's not an issue of what the facts are. It's a halachic machlokitz. It's a halachic debate. How should we evaluate the bottle caps? Is there an issue of makom patish? Is there no issue of makom patish? It's a halachic debate. And so at the end of the day, as confident as I may be that my sheet is correct, and your shita is wrong. There are shivim panim l'Torah. I have to acknowledge that you're relying on a viable posek. And so even from my perspective, I have to acknowledge that you have a reliable shita out there, and therefore there's not going to be an issue of lifnei iver. Since I caused you to do this act, you're relying on a reliable posek. Even from my perspective, I have to admit that you have a reasonable shita. That's not a problem of lifnei iver. This is in contrast to that lady, where once again, from her perspective, there's no room for another shita. It's not an issue of what's the halacha in that situation. It's not a halachic debate. It's a function of the facts. She knows the facts. She knows that she's asher to her husband. And so in that situation, from her perspective, there's nothing to talk about. There's certainly going to be an iser for her husband, and there's going to be a problem of lifnei iver. So that's how the Ksav Sofer debunks the shita of the Shara Melech. And with that, we've now developed the basic facts here in issue number one. The first issue we're raising with the bottle cap Shaila is the issue of lifnei iver. Is there a problem with lifnei iver if we have a machlokas, whether it's asher or mutter, and I cause you to do it? Is that lifnei iver? And we're seeing a machlokas now, Shara Melech versus the Ksav Sofer. Shara Melech is saying that there is an issue of lifnei iver. He brought a raya from Nedarim. Ksav Sofer is arguing that there's no problem with lifnei iver, and he refutes that raya from Nedarim. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Fine. So the question becomes, so what's the hesber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the different shittos on this issue as to if there is a problem of lifnei iver or not? What's the hesber in this machlokas? So Rabbi Leibowitz once pointed out a very beautiful hesber in this machlokas, and this is going to get into a classic chakira, how to define the iser of lifnei iver. So let's spell out the classic chakira and show how we can use that chakira to be masbir this issue. So let's take a closer look now at the definition of the iser of lifnei iver. We know that there's a prohibition. You can't cause somebody else to do an avera lifnei iver, lo sitein mechshel. And the question becomes, what exactly is the nature of this prohibition? How do we define the exact iser of lifnei iver? So there are two basic possibilities. Possibility number one is to say like this, that maybe the iser of lifnei iver is expanding the concept of what it means to do an avera in halacha. Meaning to say that before we have the iser of lifnei iver, and we have all the other isurim in the Torah, simply understood, all the other isurim are teaching us that a person can't directly perform an avera. Person should not directly eat treif. Person should not directly wear shatnez. Don't directly perform in avera. That's what we would have thought before we have the iser of lifnei iver. Comes lifnei iver, according to the first possibility, could be explained. Lifnei iver is expanding what it means to do an avera. Lifnei iver is teaching us that not only can't you directly perform an avera, it's saying don't even indirectly perform an avera. Don't be gorim in avera. When you cause someone else to do an avera, you, the machshel, are indirectly doing an avera. We could view him as a little bit of an extension of you, his yad arechta. You, in asking or causing someone else to do it, are using a middleman to indirectly do an avera. Lifnei iver says, just like you can't eat treif, don't indirectly cause the violation of eating treif by causing someone else to do it. So that is our first possibility. Lifnei iver is an iser to be gorim in avera. And it's almost an avera bin adam l'makom. It's not an avera bin adam l'chavero, according to the first possibility. Just like if a person eats treif, so that's just ben adam l'makom. If Reuven causes Shimon to eat treif, Reuven is indirectly causing the iser of treif. So Reuven is doing an iser ben adam l'makom. He's causing the avera of eating treif, and maybe that's the problem of lifnei iver. It's saying don't be gorim and cause an avera. That's possibility number one. The second possibility, which is probably the more intuitive approach, is to say no. Lifnei iver is not an avera ben adam l'makom. It's an avera bin adam lachavero. Lifnei iver simply says, don't trip somebody else up in their avodas Hashem. When you cause someone else to do an avera, you're tripping him up in his avodas Hashem. You're undercutting your friend. Don't trip somebody else up in his avodas Hashem. So that would be a second way of looking at lifnei iver. That's an avera bin adam lachavero. Don't trip someone else up in their avodas Hashem. So this is the classic chakira in lifnei iver. How do we define the iser of lifnei iver? Isn't it bin adam lamakom? Don't indirectly do an avera. When you cause someone else to do an avera, he's your middleman. He's just the robot who's carrying out your scheme. You're indirectly causing an avera. You're indirectly performing an avera. That's the issue of lifnei iver. Or is an avera ben adam l'chavero? Don't trip your friend up by causing him to do an avera. So what's the nafkamina in this chakira? So Rabbi Leibowitz pointed out that this very issue as to which perspective to take is going to be a nafkamina in this chakira, we're having a machlokas now. Whose perspective do we take when we're trying to figure out if there's an issue of lifnei iver? Do we take the machshel's perspective that if I hold something as aser, then I can't cause you to do it? Do we take the nechshel's perspective that if you hold this mutter, even though I hold this aser, maybe it's okay for me to cause you to do it? Which perspective do we take? So Rabbi Leibowitz pointed out that this machlokas, Sharmelech versus Ksav Sofer, is going to depend on this chakira. So let's go through the two tzadim in the chakira and show how it plays into this shaila. Starting with the first tzad in the chakira, if lifnei iver is ben adam l'makom, it says not only can't you directly eat treif, but don't indirectly, cause the iser of eating treif or any other avera by using a middleman, using a yada richta, using an extension of yourself to eat treif. If that's the focus of lifnei iver, so lifnei iver is really focused on the machshel. It tells Reuven the machshel, just like you can't eat treif, don't cause the iser of treif to be eaten. When you cause Shimon to eat treif, so you yourself, Reuven, are indirectly relating to the iser of treif. That's the problem of lifnei iver. If that's the focus of lifnei iver, then we certainly are going to take the machshel's perspective in assessing whether this is aser or mutter. Just like Reuven, if Reuven wants to eat a piece of meat, so it depends on his psak halacha, not Shimon, but Reuven. If I want to eat a piece of meat, it depends on my psak halacha. If I hold that this meat is aser, I can't eat it. If I hold this mutter, I can't eat it. We go by my perspective because I'm the one eating it. So to lifnei iver is a din in me. It's a din in the machshel. When I cause you to do something, I'm doing it indirectly. It's an iser on the machshel. If the focus of lifnei iver is on the machshel, then it goes by my psak halacha. So if I paskin that this is aser, I cannot cause you to do this activity because I'm the one doing it. When you do it, you're just an extension of me. I'm indirectly doing it. If I hold this aser, that's going to be a problem. So that'll be the hezber behind the Sharam Melech. Sharam Melech says that there's a problem of lifnei iver in this situation. He's going with the third side in the chakira. Lifnei iver is focused on the machshel. Don't indirectly do an avera through a middleman. And so since it's focused on the machshel, we take the machshel's perspective in this machlokas. Moving over to the second side in the chakira. So the second side was to explain that real lifnei iver is ben adam l'chaveiro, that don't trip up your friend in his avodas Hashem. When you cause him to do an avera, it's not that you indirectly are doing an avera. That's not the problem. You're messing your friend over. You're causing your friend to trip up in his avodas Hashem. If that's the way we look at lifnei iver, ben adam l'chaveiro, so then it's very reasonable that we should look at your friend's perspective in figuring out if he really was tripped up or not. If your friend paskins that it's mutter, and he's relying on a reliable posek, and he's certainly not doing anything wrong in Shemayim. If I ask you to open up a bottle cap, and you're relying on Rav Shlomo Zalman, and certainly in Shemayim, they respect the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman, I am not tripping you up in your avodas Hashem. I'm not being machshel you. I'm not messing you over. And so that could not be a problem of lifnei iver. And so that would be the hezber behind the shita of the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says that there's no problem of lifnei iver in this situation because we focus on the nechshel. He would be going with this ben adam l'chaveiro concept of lifnei iver. Don't trip up your friend in his avodas Hashem. Well, if he paskins his mutter, I'm not tripping him up. I'm not being machshel him. That's not going to be a problem of lifnei iver. So that's the fundamental hezber in this machlokas, which Rabbi Leibowitz pointed out. It's a very beautiful way of analyzing this machlokas. Okay, any questions? Ben. Yeah. Good. Okay, Ben is asking, according to the first side, why is not lifnei iver to feed a goy treif? If I feed a goy treif, so I'm indirectly, relating to the iser of treif. Why is it not a problem to feed a goy treif? So you should know that that's a very deep question. But I'm going to give you the answer. The answer to that question is a very good question. The answer to that question is that lifnei iver is defined as causing a ma'aseh avera to be performed. I can't cause a ma'aseh avera to be performed. When I cause another Jew to do an avera, I'm causing a ma'aseh avera to be performed. I'm causing the iser of treif to be violated. Not only can I not eat treif, I can't cause the iser of treif to be violated. When I cause Shimon to do it, I'm causing that iser to be violated. When I give it to Alfredo, he's right there, so... on the other side of the glass, don't worry. So when I give it to Alfredo, so I'm not causing an avera to be done. And so therefore, it's not a problem of lifnei iver. So it's a very subtle answer, but it's a very good question. Okay, any other questions from Zoom? Yona?
Yeah, hi, Rabbi. Hi. I just have a question. If someone convinces someone that something is kosher, let's say, and they eat it thinking that it is kosher, even though it was treif, how does that affect their avodas Hashem?
again, meaning, one more time, please. Reuven gives Shimon something, and Shimon thinks it was kosher, but really it was treif?
Yeah.
So if it's objectively treif, according to all opinions?
Sure.
Fine. So in that situation, objectively speaking, he did, you know, call it a shogeg, you know, call him acting b'shogeg, even if you want to call it an onus, he still did an activity of violating the Isra of eating treif. Maybe in Shemayim, so, you know, they say that when we ask for a kapara on Yom Kippur, we're even asking for a kapara for ba'onis of ratzon. The first al-chayt is al-chayt ba'onis of ratzon. Why are we asking for al-chayt ba'onis? The answer is that even doing something ba'onis is, you know, you shouldn't have done it. Obviously, it's not your fault, but when a person does an aver ba'onis, so at the end of the day, if Hashem brought it about through you, then maybe there's something about you that Hashem was trying to bring something out. You know, there's some kind of deficiency that Hashem is trying to highlight by having you be the middleman in an onus. So even ba'onis, we ask for al-chayt, we ask for tshuva, so there's some kind of issue even doing an aver ba'onis. But that was a good question.
Okay.
Josh.
Yes. For some reason, I'm not feeling so compelled by the first version of the Lifnei Iver that we presented, that it's almost subjective, that we look at whose perspective it is. It sounds like a very strange stretch of Darshan Taima Dekra, and Mehechi Tesi, that a mitzvah all of a sudden becomes subjective, that we look at you versus you. The halacha is going to apply the same mitzad each individual. The halacha should apply the same to me as it'll apply to him, even if he has a different opinion on it.
You don't like the first sound of Hakira? You're saying you don't like the idea that of the indirectly performing it?
Yeah.
Because you don't like the fact that there's a split in the, if you don't like the fact that if we're going by my subjectivity as opposed to, you know, my subjective perspective as opposed to your...
Exactly. Meaning when, if I paskin the halacha is a certain way, that's really not a subjective thing. I'm paskining that this is the objective halacha. And the other individual might have a separate opinion about that. But mehechi tesi, that we can split and say, oh, what's his perspective versus what's his perspective? Meaning, I'm almost bridging that gap, whoever asked before about feeding a guy treif. So the reason why that's different is that for the guy, it's objectively okay to eat the treif.
Mm-hmm.
But here, mitzad me, it's objectively not okay for that other yid to do this avera, which according to me is an avera. According to him, it's not. But for me, it's an avera for him.
Can I reformulate your question if I'm sure. Understanding correctly? I think you're really asking the second side of the Hakira, that the second side was we're trying to say that if I hold something as aser and you hold something as mutter, since it's been on the chavero, we're trying to argue that I'm not tripping you up because from your perspective, it's permissible. But we could ask, why do we go by your perspective? Let's go by my perspective. Lamaisa, from my perspective, I did trip you up in your avodas Hashem. Would that be a correct way of reformulating your question? It's really on the second side that when I trip you up, so we're trying to argue that I'm not tripping you up because we go by your perspective. And from your perspective, you weren't tripped up. But from my perspective, you are tripped up. So let's take my perspective. Let's make it objective. I paskin this way objectively. Is that correct or not?
It could be. I think I'm just bothered by the fact that there can be a split, meaning that I don't think there really is such a thing as subjectivity here, because they're both objective versions of the halacha, which should apply objectively to both individuals.
Okay. Okay. Meaning, so
I'm not even sure I'm not even sure if we can say that the machlokas is in how to understand with Me'iver. I'm just not sure that hakira speaks to me.
Okay, fine. Good. The taina is well appreciated. Shkayach. Okay, fine. The taina is well appreciated. Do you mind if we just move on a little bit? I apologize. Okay. Fine. One second, let me just consider the timing here. I'm just going to bottom line a quick nafkamina. I put on the Marmar Kol Mitzvah nafkamina. I'm not going to spell it out just because of time. But just the bottom line is, if you saw the Marmar Kol Mitzvah from Sukkah, the Gemara in Sukkah brought an incident, which is going to be a kind of a nafkamina in this whole analysis. It had an incident where Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda had a machlokes, asked if a certain sukkah was kosher or pasul. Rav Nachman held that the sukkah was kosher, and Rav Chisda held that the sukkah was pasul. And the Gemara says that Rav Nachman actually put Rav Chisda into this very sukkah that was subject to debate, that Rav Nachman held was okay, and Rav Chisda held was not okay. He put him into this very sukkah, whatever the exact circumstance was. And afterwards, he asked Rav Chisda, he says, aha, so I see that you backed out of your shita, because you didn't complain when you sat in the sukkah. You didn't tell me that it was possible. You're willing to sleep here. And The Gemara says Rav Chisda responded, and Rabba also held like Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda responded that, no, I didn't back out of my shita. I was putter from sitting in a sukkah because I was a shluche mitzvah. I was in process of doing a mitzvah. So since I was putter from sitting in a sukkah, I didn't bother complaining to you, but I still maintain that you're wrong, that the sukkah is no good. That was the incident in this Gemara in sukkah. And the Ritva raises the issue of lifnei iver, that in this situation, what's going on here? We have a machlokas. Rav Nachman holds that this sukkah is kosher. Rav Chisda holds that this sukkah is not okay. And Rav Nachman put Rav Chisda into the sukkah. He didn't know Rav Chisda was potter from a sukkah. That was the ending of the story. He thought Rav Chisda was chayv in sukkah. And Rav Nachman put Rav Chisda into this very sukkah that Rav Chisda held was possible. Asks the Ritva, what happened to lifnei iver? When Rav Nachman puts Rav Chisda into the sukkah, he set him up in this very sukkah. He's causing Rav Chisda to violate the isser of not singing in a sukkah. What happened to the isser of lifnei iver? That's the issue of the Ritva. Now, if you take a very careful look at the situation, this is the inverse of the bottle cap shayla. Our shayla we're raising by bottle caps is where I hold something as usser and you hold its mutter, can I cause you to do that activity? Can I ask you to open up a bottle for me? That's the shayla we're focused on tonight. Here we have the inverse situation. Rav Nachman held that this was mutter, there's no issue. Rav Chisda held it was usser, and Rav Nachman was causing Rav Chisda to do this activity. So that's the inverse of the bottle cap shayla. I hold this mutter, and you hold this usser. I'm causing you to do this activity. Is that a problem of lifnei iver? So the Ritva brings a machlokas rishonim on this issue, whether there's a lifnei iver in this situation. And I'm just going to bottom line it, that this is going to, again, be the same issue. We're having a machlokas which perspective to take. Although Rabbi Josh Eisenberg had a very good taina. He's making an issue with this issue. But barring Josh's issue, we're having another situation where we have different perspectives. We have this time the machshel holds that it's mutter, the nichshel holds that it's aser, and whether there's lifnei iver would depend on which perspective you should take in the situation. So I'm not going to spell out the chakira again, but we, you know, based on the chakira, we were analyzing how the chakira affects which perspective you take. The Sharm Aleph was focused on the machshel's perspective. The Ksav Sober is focused on the nichshel's perspective. So it doesn't have to be a case where I hold it's aser and you hold it's mutter. The same thing would happen if we flip the situation. If I hold it's mutter and you hold it's aser, so the same machlokas would apply. The Sharm Aleph would say we focused on me, the machshel, and so it should be mutter in this situation. Ksav Sofer would focus on you, the nechshel, and he would hold it as usser in this situation. And he spells this out. The Ksav Sofer spells out explicitly that in this case, he would admit that it would be usser because he always focuses on nechshel. And so if I hold his mutter, you hold his usser, I'm causing you to do it. We look at your perspective and it would be a problem. So I'm just bottom lining that just to get that out there. If you saw the Marmakomo, so that would be an interesting application of this whole discussion. So with that, we've concluded the first major issue with the bottle cap shayla, the issue of lifnei iver lo sitein mechshel. And now for the last 5 minutes, let's quickly just point out the second big issue that comes up in the poskim. The second issue that comes up, we'll develop it out of a shari tshuva. I put on the Mar Makomos a shari tshuva, and he brings a machlokas a poskim, which is going to bring out another issue, which is going to be an ogeya, our bottle cap shayla. The issue that the Shari Tshuva brings up is as follows. We know that in Chutzlaretz, so we hold of 2 days of Yontif, but in Eretz Yisrael, they hold of 1 day of Yontif. So the question becomes, if let's say Reuven, who lives in Chutzlaretz, he's visiting Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, and he's holding of a second day of Yontif. So can Reuven ask Shimon, one of the local residents, to do malacha on Reuven's behalf on the second day of Yontif? On the second day of Yontif for Shimon, there's no issue of doing malacha. Shimon lives in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't keep the second day of Yontif. So can Reuven, a ben Chutzlaretz, ask his friend, ben Eretz Yisrael, to do malacha on his behalf? That's the issue that the Shari Tshuva brings up. So he brings a machlokas aposkim on this issue between the Marikash versus the Ginas Vradim. So just to spell out the Shitas, the Marikash is mekel on the Shaila. He says that it's mutter for a ben Chutzlaretz to ask his friend, Ben Eretz Yisrael, to do malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. On the second day of Sukkot, Reuven can ask Shimon to do malacha on his behalf. That is the shita of the Marikash. Whereas the Ginas Vradim argues, the Ginas Vradim was written by the Prima Gadim. He had a sefer, Ginas Vradim. And in this sefer, he argues on the Marikash. He says that there is a problem in this situation. Reuven cannot ask Shimon to do malacha on his behalf. Now, what's the issue in this situation? What's the point of contention? So this is where we come to the ha'ara of Ben Kalish before, that this is not going to be an issue of lifnei iver. Because in this situation, everyone agrees from all perspectives, there's nothing wrong with Shimon, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, doing malacha on the second day of Yontif. From all perspectives, it's perfectly permissible for Shimon to do malacha on the second day. So when Reuven asks Shimon to do malacha on the second day of Yontif, he's not causing him to do any maisa avera, he's not causing him to do anything wrong. From Shimon's perspective, it's perfectly permissible to do this activity. So this is not an issue of lifnei iver. What then is the issue in this situation? What are they arguing about? So they're going to be arguing about our second major issue, which is the issue of amira la'akum. We know that there's an iser derabanan to ask a goy to do something that's aser on your behalf. We very often have this by Hilchos Shabbos. You ask a goy to do malacha on your behalf. So under general circumstances, that is prohibited. It's aser midirabanan. The big question becomes whether the iser of amira, is it limited to goyim or does it also apply to a Jew? Let's say I have a Jew that in a certain situation is not subject to a prohibition. Can I ask him to do it on my behalf? Or perhaps we should say that just like I can't ask a goy to do something on my behalf, so too I can't ask a Jew to do something on my behalf. Does the Isra of Amira apply to Jews just like it applies to goyim? That is the issue in this situation. The Zera Avram, who's in that Shari Tshuva, spells out that the Marikash holds that there's no Isra of Amira li Yisrael. You can't ask a goy to do something for you, that's Usr, but you can ask a Jew. There's no problem asking a Jew. That's why it is Mutter in this situation. And the Ginas Frad in the Prima Gadim argues, he says that no, just like you can't ask a goy to do something on your behalf, so too you cannot ask a Jew. There's an Isser of Amir Li Yisrael. That's the Shita of the Ginas Fradim. So this is now going to raise a second issue with the Shaila of bottle caps. If I hold bottle caps or Usr, and you hold this Mutter, and I ask you to do it on my behalf, even if there's no issue of Lifnei Iver, even if we pass in like the Ksav Sofer, we now have to contend with the issue of Amira, the Isser of Amira. Just like I can't ask a goy to open up a bottle for me under typical circumstances, let's say, if I hold it Zasser, so then, you know, make your Adin, I can't ask a goy to do it for me. Well, then I also can't ask a Jew to do it for me, perhaps, if the Isser of Amira applies to Jews, so that would be a problem in this situation as well. So that's the major issue that applies in this situation. Just to point out one last situation where this Shaila comes up about asking a Jew to do malacha or to do something on your behalf, if he holds it's mutter, if it's mutter for him and it's also for me, there's a tshuva in the Eretz Tzvi where he raises another interesting Shaila that's dependent on this second big issue. We had last year a very innovative Eretz Tzvi on Kiddush and Shnaps. So here too, he has a lot of very innovative tshuvas. And he has a tshuva on the international dateline, the halachic perspective on the dateline. And in that tshuva, he raises the following question. He says, let's say Reuven is on a side of the dateline where it's Shabbos, and Shimon is on a side of the dateline where it's not Shabbos, so can Reuven ask Shimon, his friend, to do malacha on Reuven's behalf? Since where Shimon's located, there's no problem doing malacha, because he's, I guess, assuming you take the right shittos in the poskim, how to define the dateline, but working with the right sheet on the dateline, Shimon is in a location that's not considered to be Shabbos, I'm in an area where it is Shabbos. If Reuven asks Shimon to do malacha on his behalf, it's certainly from Shimon's perspective, there's no problem. There's no issue of lifnei iver. Shimon's doing nothing wrong. What's the issue, says the Eretz Tzvi? The issue is Amira. Do we say that just like Amir La'akum is no good, so too Amir Yisrael is no good? So Reuven cannot ask Shimon to do this on his behalf? Or perhaps no, the issue of Amira does not apply to Jews and it would be permissible. So that was tonight's discussion. The issue of, can I ask you to open a bottle caps for me? We had two major issues, the issue of lifnei iver and the issue of Amira. I'm not here to paskim, but it seems that poskim are not so into this whole maneuver because of these different issues. I was walking with Rabbi Dov Willig some time ago, and I just asked him his sheet on bottle caps. So he says that his brother held the bottle caps for mutter. He learned the sugya up from Mordechai Willig holds that it's mutter, but I don't do it. So I asked Rabbi Willig, would you ask somebody else to do it for you? It's not a good question to ask Rabbi Willig. He was not very into that. He says, I don't do that kind of thing. I'm not giving a psak halach. I'm just sharing an interesting story. So fine. That was tonight's shir. And Mitzvah Shem, next week, we're going to finish up Ma'akev HaPadish by doing some interesting peripheral issues, more contemporary shaylas. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Shkayach.
Shkayach.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
But the shayla...
Would the Shaila also apply to someone who is Makabel Shabbos early?
Yes, okay, and so 100%. So there's Machlokas Rashi and Ran on that issue. If Reuven's Makabel Shabbos early and Shimon wasn't, can Reuven ask Shimon do malacha on his behalf. So 100%. That would be a variant situation. Okay. 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 Josh, thank you so much for speaking up. It really elevates everything. Okay. Okay. Having Shabbos. Okay.